Hello and welcome to another episode, episode 5 of Kringle Talks Christmas with me, your host, Chris Kringle. Now, before I go any further, as usual, if you are new to the podcast, please do ensure you follow my social media on Twitter, at Christmas Talks. That's at K-R-I-S-T-M-A-S Talks. Now, once again, so glad you can join me. Today, I'm recording this the 14th of November, which today in the UK is Remembrance Sunday, which is to obviously celebrate and to mourn and to remember those, especially the troops and the veterans and those who served in the armed services. We remember those. We remember those people who have passed away and fought for our freedoms, etc., etc. Now, the day of remembrance is obviously the 11th of November. Over in the US, I believe it's called Veterans Day. In the UK, we call it Remembrance Day at 11 o'clock on the 11th of November, 2021, obviously. We remember those and have a 2 minute silence. So today I thought I would do an episode regarding something similar, but it was to do with the Christmas truce. Now, what fitting way to celebrate today than talk about, in Christmas terms anyway, the Christmas truce, which, I'll jump straight into it, was a wide spread unofficial ceasefire along the Western Front of the First World War around Christmas 1914. Roughly 100,000 British and German troops were involved in the informal cessation of hostility along the Western Front. The Germans placed candles on their trenches and on the Christmas trees and continued the celebration by singing Christmas carols. The British responded by singing their own carols. The two sides continued by shouting Christmas greetings to each other. Soon thereafter, there were excursions across no man's land, where small gifts were exchanged, such as food, tobacco, alcohol, and souvenirs, such as buttons and hats. The artillery in the region fell silent. The truce allowed also a breathing spell where recently killed soldiers could be brought back behind their lines by burial parties. Joint services were held. In many sectors, the truce lasted through Christmas night, continuing until New Year's Day in other areas. On Christmas Day, Brigadier General Walter Congreve, commander of the 18th Infantry Brigade, stationed near Neuve-Chapelle, wrote a letter recalling the Germans declared a truce on the day. One of his men bravely lifted his head above the parapet, and others from both sides walked onto no man's land. Officers and men shook hands and exchanged cigarettes and cigars. One of his captains smoked the cigar with the best shot in the German army, the latter no more than 18 years old. Many accounts of the truce involved one or more football matches played in no man's land. This was mentioned in some of the earlier reports, with a letter written by a doctor attached to the Rifle Brigade, published in the Times on the 1st of January 1915, reporting a football match played between them and us in the front of the trench. Similar stories have been told over the years, often naming units or the score. Some accounts of the game bring in elements of the fiction by Robert Graves, a British poet and writer, and an officer on the front at the time, who reconstructed the encounter in a story published in 1962 in Graves' version. The score was 3-2 to the Germans. After 1914, sporadic attempts were made at seasonal truces. A German unit attempted to leave their trenches under a flag of truce on Easter Sunday 1915, but were warned off by the British opposite them. In November, a Saxon unit briefly fraternised with the Liverpool Battalion. In December 1915, there were orders by the Allied commanders to forestall any repeat of the previous Christmas truce. Units were encouraged to mount raids and harass the opposing lines, while communicating with the enemy was discouraged by artillery barrages along the front line throughout the day. A small number of brief truces occurred despite the prohibition. In an adjacent sector, a short truce to bury the dead between the lines led to repercussions. A company commander, Sir Ian Colquhoun of the Scots Guards, was court-martialed for defying standing orders to the contrary. While he was found guilty and reprimanded, the punishment was annulled by General Douglas Haig, and Colquhoun remained in his position. The official leniency may perhaps have been because his wife's uncle was H.H. Asquith, the Prime Minister. In December 1916 and 17, the German overtures to the British for truces were recorded without any success. In some French sectors, Singing and an exchange of thrown gifts were occasionally recorded, though these mainly simply have reflected a seasonal extension of the live and let live approach common in the trenches. Easter 1915, there were truces between Orthodox troops of opposing sides of the Eastern Front. The Bulgarian writer Yordan Yovkov, serving as an officer near the Greek border at the Mesta River, witnessed one. It inspired his story, Holy Night, translated into English in 2013 by Kratsu Banev. Now, reenactments of the Christmas truce have taken place many years. In particular, the Midway Village in Rockford, Illinois, has hosted reenactments of the Christmas truce yearly. In 2014, the supermarket chain Sainsbury's produced their Christmas advert, which depicted the Christmas truce between the troops from the United Kingdom and Germany. It starts with the boom of artillery. It's night and British soldiers huddle in the trenches. Snow is falling, a Tommy opens a parcel from home, out falls a woman's photo and a bar of chocolate. The Sainsbury's Tommy, for it is he, smiles. Silent night rises eerily, at first in German and then in English. The Sainsbury's Tommy pokes his head above the trench, and after momentary tension, will they shoot? The two sets of soldiers are in no man's land, playing football and chatting. The protagonist hands his chocolate to a German called Otto, and in return receives what looks like a piece of hard track biscuit. In the distance, the guns rumble, both sets of troops return to the trenches, and the rousing score morphs into meditative piano. Christmas is for sharing, flashes up on the screen, followed by the familiar orange Sainsbury's logo, and finally, made in partnership with the Royal British Legion. So there you have it. The Christmas truce is one of those where traditionally stories have been told regarding it, and it's nice to know that even for a short time during the World War, that a truce was able to be had, and what better way to bring it together than Christmas. So on this Remembrance Sunday, whilst I am recording, if you know of anybody that served in the military or the army or whichever side of the country or wherever you're from, please do hold a minute's silence for them in honour of those that have fallen. And always remember that Christmas can bring anybody and everybody together. So once again, if you're new to the podcast, please follow me on Twitter at Christmas Talks, KRISTMAS Talks. And once again, if you're new, please do ensure you check out the Christmas Podcast Network, with a whole host and whole range of beautiful Christmas stories, traditions, and wonderful fellow podcasters. And until next time, guys, Merry Christmas, take care. I've been Chris Kringle, goodbye.